Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. My foray into something completely different continues with the second part of the prologue to the mystery Death of a Shabby Tiger. One very cold Saturday morning about a month later, Todd LaRue paced a narrow strip of deserted Massachusetts beach, popped another Valium, and washed it down with cranapple juice. As he paced and drank his juice, he thought first of the meeting that would occur in less than half an hour, and then more and more about his mother. The latter, a natural consequence of both the Valium and the simple act of drinking anything, even water. He hadn't had time to tell her about his plan and wondered if she'd call him a free spirit the way she always did when he told her about his animal rights activities. In reality, Kitty LaRue always spoke of her son as a free spirit. She liked the phrase, probably because she used it to describe herself. When people ask her what she did before she met Reggie LaRue and he made gobs of money in questionable real estate deals and they moved to Boston where he could steal more money faster, she'd titter coyly, "Oh, I was just a free spirit." Kitty LaRue called herself a free spirit and drank way too much because she didn't want people to know she came from Otterbrook, New Hampshire, a very small town filled with insignificant people who never did anything. Or so she thought. While her better-bred Beacon Hill friends drank to dull the numbing fear that their dying, cheating, stealing, or infidelity would be exposed, Kitty drank to drown her terror that one day she'd be walking with her two impeccably groomed Lhasa Apsos, and some scruffy reporter would rush up at her and shout loud enough for all of Boston to hear, "Didn't you used to be the captain of the Otterbrook girls' field hockey team before Reggie LaRue knocked you up after a Future Farmers of America dance?" Like her better-bred friends, that dread eventually became so great she felt compelled to consume great quantities of Valium, which an agreeable but frightfully expensive physician prescribed for her nerves. Actually, seeing the small town of Otterbrook explained the intense but mixed feelings that currently dominated Todd LaRue's life. He went the first time out of curiosity, to see if it really was as bad as his mother claimed those few times she spoke of it at all. For sure, he found nothing there that compared to Beacon Hill, where he grew up. A few buildings and Otter Brook, and a lot of other brooks and lakes and rivers, and animals and birds everywhere, and lots of hills and even a mountain. He found so much nothing in Otter Brook compared to Beacon Hill that he went back time and time again, but always as a spectator, never making himself known. As his mother drank more and more, Todd told her less and less. Instead, he'd walk alone in the woods or on the beach talking to a different kitty, the one who lived in his head. He told this one about all the things he did to save the animals, about accosting researchers who did animal experiments, shouting obscenities at them and spitting on them, slashing their tires, calling them at home time and time again until they were forced to get unlisted numbers or even move. He described how he broke into their labs and destroyed the records and any equipment he could find. "But nothing changed, Mom," he mournfully kicked at the sand with the toe of his ridiculously expensive, highly impractical running shoe. Once he developed all the skills necessary for the various acts of vandalism his current group relished, it wasn't even fun anymore. He found himself growing very impatient and bored with the whole thing. However, then Todd LaRue conceived a plan that would allow him to accomplish a lot more than any group he ever belonged to or ever would. As the drug-induced veneer coating his thoughts thickened, he pondered that plan and what his parents would say about it. Of course, his father would go berserk when he found out. "You've got a good head on your shoulders, Todd," Reggie would nag as he'd nag time and time again. "Why do you keep losing it to a bunch of stupid causes?" His mother, on the other hand, would probably down a tub full of gin when she discovered her son's new venture lay surprisingly close to the sleepy village of Otterbrook. Would she see it as a defiant expose of her humble roots, or the ultimate act of a free spirit? Todd didn't know. He also didn't know how his current colleagues would react to his defection from the group. Lately, he found more than a few of them irritating and wondered if they sensed his feelings. He knew without considering the matter for very long that they wouldn't like what he intended to do in the least. He could think of one in particular who would take his defection very, very personally. That was the reason for this meeting, to get it all out in the open, break the ties once and for all. "What do you think, Mom? You going to be proud of me a month from now?" He intended to ask the maternal free spirit he envisioned floating above the frigid waves tumbling onto the beach. However, as he opened his mouth to speak, a wire dropped over his head from behind and choked both the words and the life right out of him. When it finally ended, not only did he become a permanent free spirit, his father became a prophet. No matter how good the head on his shoulders, Todd LaRue had lost it to a very hopeless cause.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.